Okay, good morning. I'm Dorothy Minnissey. I'm a PhD student at Texas A&M University, and I'm going to be presenting my research on modeling evapotranspiration using the DSAP plant growth model. Okay, so evapotranspiration is sort of the combination of plant transpiration and soil evaporation, and this is a major component of the hydrologic cycle. So measuring it is an important aspect of sort of analyzing and calculating plant water use. So in addition to calculating water use, one of the things that we're using the measurements for is to improve and calibrate evapotranspiration software models, which is what the focus of this research is about. So the main objective of this is to evaluate the accuracy of the decision support system for agrotechnology transfer, or DSAT, for simulating ET in corn and cotton. So DSAT is a software system that supports a variety of different crop growth models. The two that I'm going to be using are Crop Grow Cotton and Series Maize. These models were originally part of separate software packages, but DSAT sort of combines them all into one interface. And it uses information on management, climate, information about your crop cultivar, and then using basic agronomic principles creates a plant growth model entirely within the software system. So I have two study sites. One is a production cotton field in Burleson County, Texas. The star there is about where the Eddy Covariance Tower is located. The cotton was planted on April 6th and harvested on September 11th this year, 2017, and the Eddy Covariance Tower was set up this year as well. The corn site is adjacent to the cotton site, and it was also set up this year, and it was planted on March 10th and harvested on July 25th. Both of these fields are conventional till and dry land. So the site has two main soil types. One is the ship's clay, which is a vertisol, and the other is the Westwood, which is an inceptisol. The Westwood has slightly less clay, although both of them have the shrink-swell characteristics. So how we are measuring our actual ET is using eddy covariance towers. So in each field, I have one eddy covariance tower. So eddy covariance uses the wind speed and direction in combination with the gas vapor concentration to create a flux. For this system, I'm using a Campbell Scientific sonic anemometer and a Licor open path gas analyzer, or IRGA. Our measurements are taken at 10 hertz, and then they are compiled into 30-minute data, and they're augmented with some standard meteorological and soil instruments. Eddy covariance data is compiled using EddyPro, which is a Licor software system that compiles the 10 hertz data into 30-minute summaries. And then gap filling was done using the Max Planck Institute, which is an online R-based platform. So our additional instruments, we have instruments for relative humidity, net radiation, solar radiation, and soil instruments for heat flux and water content. So part of why we have all these additional instruments is so that we can calculate an energy balance. So when you're measuring eddy covariance and using that to get ET, one of the important things that you need to do is to make sure that your measurements are accurate. And part of how we do this is by calculating an energy balance. So all incoming solar heat is distributed between latent heat, sensible heat, and soil heat. So the latent heat is equivalent to our evapotranspiration, and then sensible heat is also calculated using the eddy covariance system, and then G, which is the soil heat, we measure that using the soil heat flux plates, and then finally the net radiation, that is measured using a net radiometer at the site as well. And since we have all four components, we can create the energy balance with that equation. So our corn DSAT model is the Series Maize model. I use the standard parameters, and for ET, I used both the Priestley-Taylor and the FAO 56 model, which is based on Penman-Monteith. And like I said before, it's conventional till and dry land. The crop grow cotton, I use pretty much the same exact parameters, except it's instead of the series model, it's the crop grow model. And I also use both Priestley Taylor and the FAO 56 ET calculations. So for checking for model performance, we're using R squared, RMSE, CRM, D index, and NSC. The last three are more specific to modeling software, and they check for agreement between the simulated data and the actual data. For the corn model, we had to modify some of the genetic crop cultivar parameters using DCES glue select tool and our phenology data. This is our phenology model for corn. This is the plant height model. The red line is the model using the high clay ships soil as the base, and the blue line is the model using the lower clay Westwood as the base. So in the model system, you can't do a field with two soils. So what I did is I made a file using each soil separately, and then the green dots are the actual data. The same color scheme is used for the leaf area model. And we had a fairly good agreement. The D-index was over, usually you want the D-index as close to one as possible, and that's fairly good. We do have a slight issue here, and that's because the corn species file in DSAT is currently set with a maximum height of 1.6 meters, and there's quite a few corn varieties now that grow taller than that. So this is the Priestley Taylor ET model for corn. The blue line is the simulation using the ship's clay. The red line is the simulation using the Westwood series. And the green line is the actual measured ET with the bars representing rainfall. And here's the same model using FAO 56 in the same color scheme. So we didn't have quite the fit that we wanted, so we went ahead and did an energy balance. We got a slope of 0.7, which isn't too great, but it's okay, with La plus H on the y-axis and Rn minus G on the x. So having a slope less than 1 indicates that we have some unaccounted for energy, and this is a common problem with the eddy covariance system. So in order to correct for this, we applied a Bowen ratio correction. So we redistributed the unaccounted for energy between LE and H based on the Bowen ratio. And this is the model after the energy balance correction with the Priestley Taylor model. And again with the FAO 56 model. Using this energy balance did seem to correct the corn model a little bit, and you'll see that a bit better when I get to the model statistics. So cumulative ET, after the energy balance closure, we actually had fairly decent match between cumulative ET with the energy balance and the FAO 56 with the Westwood model, so not too far off. The potential ET, we have a fair amount of gap between the potential and the actual, mostly because this is a dry land system. So if you look at the model statistics, our R-squared is a bit low, and our in RMSE is still high, but we did have an okay D-index for the Westwood model after energy balance closure, and this is with the Priestley-Taylor model. And here's the same statistical indexes for the FAO 56 for Pinman-Monteith model, and here you can see that it improved it a little bit, especially for the Westwood model after energy balance closure. So the for our corn models, the one that seemed to perform the best was the Westwood soil model with the Pinman-Monteith or FAO 56 ET model after the energy balance closure. So now I'm going to move on to the results for the cotton model. Like with the corn model, I had to modify a number of the cultivar parameters, and these parameters are based on sort of the genetic coefficients with different crop cultivars, and I modified them using phenology data and DSAT's glue select tool. So this is the cotton phenology model. So with the cotton field, the ship's clay was only in one small corner of the field. The field was predominantly the Westwood soil, so I decided to just use the Westwood model for the cotton field. So the phenology models performed somewhat well. We do have this little hump here in the leaf area model, which we're hoping to correct by altering the leaf growth parameters in the cultivar file. So this is the cotton ET using the Priestley-Taylor model with rainfall as the bars and the simulation in blue and the measured in green. And here's the same model using FAO 56. We do see a little bit of a better correlation with FAO 56 as compared to the Priestley-Taylor. Likewise, we calculated the cumulative ET for cotton, and we had a fairly decent match between the measured and the FAO 56 model for cumulative ET. And again, our cumulative is a bit lower than our potential because we are a dry land system. We did not do an energy balance closure for cotton because we had a malfunction with our net radiometer for a good amount of the season. So we do not have that. We are hoping to do an energy balance for cotton next year. So here's the model statistics for our cotton. Even without doing the energy balance closure, we still had a fairly decent correlation between the model data and the actual data, especially with the FAO 56 model. It performed actually better than the corn. We have a D-index that's almost 1. It's 0.96. So you want the D-index to be as close to 1 as possible, and that indicates an agreement between the model data and the actual data. And then our CRM is fairly close to 0, so CRM indicates whether the model overestimates or underestimates the data. If you have a CRM of 0, you're not overestimating or underestimating. Ours is just slightly negative, which means our model is slightly overestimating the actual data, but not by much. In conclusion, our crop grow cotton model seemed to estimate the ET better than the series maize model. However, both models will likely be improved with better energy balance closure and with additional data and phenology calibration. I would like to acknowledge the student workers that helped with collecting the phenology data, as well as the NEFA and Cotton Incorporated grants that supported this work.
We have 2 minutes for questions.
Yeah. Do you have background in microbiology?
No, this is like, I just started doing this for my PhD. I said no, I just started this for my PhD.
Take, wind speed and direction.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Some little more things I can discuss with you.
Okay.
Jessica, is there a particular reason why your X-axis is on your plot on days after simulation?
So that's how DSAT runs the model. So it starts the model with, runs the model using days after simulation. So once the simulation starts, it calculates a daily ET. So you get starting on day zero and up until day, however long the model runs.
Is there a better way to explain it, some sort of biological meaningful?
Possibly. I might be able to modify it to day of year or. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so thanks, Dorothy.